Turn with me this evening to Philippians chapter 3. Let's hear God's word. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so ends our reading this evening of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Beloved, perhaps there have been times in our lives when beginning the new year or some point in the year that we have made some kind of resolution. Maybe some of us have read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions that he made. There are many who at the beginning of the year do make these kinds of resolutions to maybe stop smoking or to lose weight, start exercising, reading more, all kinds of things. But it happens, doesn't it, over the course of time when the days roll into weeks and perhaps even into months, and we begin to look back and we lose either the initial incentive we had at the beginning or the desires that we had, or other things begin to crowd out, and we begin to lose these resolutions, and these old habits and old ways are hard to break. Well, it's not only In general, people who have made resolutions that find them hard to keep. But I believe also for those who are believers, there are difficulties in walking in the Christian life as well that we find difficult and challenging. And that's what Paul is addressing here, I believe, with the Corinthian church. And I want to focus on this call of the apostle here in the passage that's before us with the title of Press On. And what I want to do is, you can follow along in your Bibles, but I'm going to read just a moment what the King James has in Philippians 3, because some of the language I think is helpful to us in this passage. So I want to read again verses 12 to 14. Here Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So this evening, from this passage, we're going to see three thoughts that come to our view. And first is, Paul is telling us he's not arrived. Secondly, we're going to see that we're called to press on being absorbed with one thing. And third, we want to see that Paul says, press on because you have been apprehended. Or, as we might say in the passage before us, we have been also thought upon by Christ. So, press on as not arrived, as absorbed with one thing, as apprehended. Well, this letter that the Apostle Paul then is writing to the Philippian church, a church which seems to have in the Apostle's heart a very peculiar and special place. As he begins this letter to them, "To the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, grace and peace be to you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy." You can just hear the emotion and the expression of Paul as he's laying this dear congregation in whom he had first ministered in Macedonia. And even as he gets to the center message of what he's delivering to this church at Philippi, he calls them again my brothers, or my brothers and sisters, a term of endearment and affection. He calls them to rejoice in the Lord. He says, "I'm writing some of the same things I told you in person. And it's not grievous to me to do that. I'm delighting to do that. And it's for your good, and it's safe for you to hear them again." And so he exhorts them as we follow through this letter to see that to live is Christ, and Christ has set before us this example that we are to walk in humility, even to the point of our master, even unto the point of death if necessary. And Paul wants to remind the Philippians of some of the basic and fundamental truths that we ought to be absorbed with in our daily walk. Perhaps Paul had also heard that there were those in the church at Philippi after he had left who were coming into the church and trying to remove the people who had come to rest on the only foundation of Christ and his righteousness, and to somehow say there's more that you need to have, that you need to experience, that's beyond this simple foundation of your salvation in Christ. And Paul strongly opposes this, and he reminds them in our chapter that we read together of his own personal experience. He says if there is anybody who could boast about his own righteousness, it was him. And yet in all the things that he lays before us and before the church at Philippi, he's saying, in all that long list of what some people would say qualify you for being a great apostle, he says, it's rubbish. It's dirty. It's manure. Paul is saying to them and reminding them again, there is a better righteousness. Not that I could earn through the law, but that was too short. But the righteousness which is found in Christ is what covers me and makes me acceptable to God. And it was Paul who, when his eyes were opened on the way to Damascus, that he was traveling in opposition to God. And when the scales came off of his eyes, he saw there was another who came for him, who gave him a righteousness he could never earn. And by faith, the Apostle Paul came to embrace this righteousness, and he knew it was in Jesus Christ. And now you could just see as you read through Paul's letters, as you read through the book of Acts, there's one burning desire of the Apostle. I want to know Christ more. And he even mentions that here in this passage before our text. That I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection. I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, if I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul isn't saying, I don't really know if I know Jesus or not, but I'm an apostle and I just want to press on. No, that's not what he's saying. He knew Christ. And he probably knew a lot more about Christ than even sometimes we do in our day and time. And Paul would still say, I want to know him more. And so in our passage, he's saying this. Verse 12, it's not that I have already obtained or somehow I am perfect. I think Paul is giving this reminder to the Philippians and to us because sometimes there are those in the church and those who are called by the name of Christian that they think they either have arrived to perfection somehow, although we would say, well, they don't really understand the spirituality of the law. But I think we perhaps have other problems in regard to this thought of the apostle. We have not yet arrived. We've not attained the goal, the finish line. It's as if Paul is sitting down and he's taking a spiritual inventory. I haven't crossed the line. My one foot, as it were, hasn't left this world and entered into the other, which will happen at my dying indeed. But I'm still in the here and now. I've not actually arrived. I think perhaps the greater problem that we probably face in not striving forward to the prize and the goal and running this race as Paul is describing to us here is more likely due to the reality that we may have entered the Christian race a number of years ago and we've come to acknowledge Jesus is Lord. His righteousness covers me. And we've kind of grown into this repetitive way in which we just live daily as believers. We sort of rested. We give the impression that we've arrived. We've attained. There's no more, as we're going to see the Apostle Paul, this striving forward. It could be even be that there are those who are in the Christian life facing internal frustrations and internal troubles with their own sin, and they just are striving in a different way than they imagine the apostle here is striving. It seems like they've tried so often to defeat this particular sin in their life, and it just raises its ugly head again and again, and they just kind of think this is what the Christian life is ending up going to be. But Paul isn't also saying at the same time that somehow he is not thinking about and keeping in mind that he is already perfect. You know, Paul the Apostle is masterfully bringing in many places these very two truths together. He even comes back to it in verse 15 in a measure. He says, let those who are mature, or we could say, let those who are perfect, think in this way, be thus minded. Paul would write to the Colossians, you are complete in Christ. There's nothing more could be added to you. You stand, as it were, before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You are perfect. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Not going to be, you are. And yet at the same time, Paul is saying here, I'm not have attained, I'm not already perfect, but I'm pressing on. And so Paul would say, and we would say with him, I trust, that having come to Christ by faith, we have been made a new creature, a new creation. We have the mind of Christ. That's why he calls them in chapter 2. Have this mind. Let this mind, this heart, this life be in you. And Paul wants the Philippians and us to understand that we are complete in Christ. We are, yes, perfect in Christ. And yet, we haven't left this world. We aren't complete in the sense that he is done with his work in us. He is still perfecting us. There is this desire in the apostle to more and more put off that which is of the old man that remains, and to be more like Christ. And to put on the new man. I desire, he says, to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. In summary, what we could say Paul was striving after was, I want, he would say, to be like Jesus from head to toe. That my thoughts, that my actions, that my words would so reflect my Lord, it would be hard to distinguish. Christ was everything to the apostle. He wants to know him more and better. And he wants to know his power of his resurrection so he could put to death those remaining sins within, that he could live in the power of his resurrection strength, to have unbroken fellowship with Christ, that all his desire would be for Christ, that he would, as Enoch, walk with God. And yet Paul says, I haven't arrived, I've not attained, I'm not perfect. This apostle who somewhat mistakenly we sometimes hold up as if he's so far advanced and almost out of sight from us. The apostle says, no, I haven't arrived. You haven't arrived. But we're in this race. Let's run. Let's press on. Paul says in Romans 7, I still find myself doing the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I know I ought to be doing, I'm not doing as I wish and desire to be done. But you see, it's this tension, this reality. I'm perfect in Christ. I'm complete in him. And yet I haven't attained. Is it what Paul's saying is, it's giving me this pressing urgency to run this race. And if you are in the same condition as the Apostle Paul is here, Paul is saying, let this, you are this in Christ, and this you have not have attained, press you into the race with more fervency and more urgency than even what you are now. We need this realization, we haven't arrived, to beckon to us, as it were, and call to us, press on. And so I ask you this evening the question that is relevant. Are you in the race? Are you still in the race that's pursuing after the things that are not of Christ? Things of this world, the things you live for yourself. You've not ever come to repent of those things and to look to Jesus. The calling then to you is to repent and to look to Jesus. But if you have come to Jesus, if you have turned from these things, this calling in a greater urgency, you could say, is even set upon you. Your life is hid away in Christ. That is true. And yet Paul says we have not arrived. Just consider how much. I look simply tonight at myself. How much of the scripture do I really understand and know? And put into daily practice as I'm going about my work? In my relationships with others, am I oozing, as it were, breathing the same desire that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here, that I would know him and the power of his resurrection and be conformed into his image and share in his suffering? In our 21st century church, in America at least, I think, we want to go away from suffering. And Paul's saying here, it is suffering that he even uses to make us like him. And as Paul's pursuing this, as he's reminding us, I haven't attained, he tells us there is but one thing he keeps before him. He doesn't look back. He has his eyes fixed upon one objective. He's pressing on toward the mark, the goal, the finish line. And Paul does this, as he does in other places, by painting this vivid picture, a race in which all the runners are clamoring, as it were, trying to outdo and trying to pursue, because there is one prize. There is one winner in the race. And there the analogy breaks down, although in contemporary world in which we live, there are often everyone who runs the race is supposed to be entitled to the prize. But Paul is saying before us, as we commonly understand, even in the Olympics, there's one that wins the race. And he's saying, so run that you may obtain. That's what he says to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9. Know you not that they which run in a race are all running, but only one receives the prize? Run that you would obtain. And every man that strives for mastery, he's temperate in all things. He's done his exercises, his training. He doesn't get distracted by other things. But these, Paul says, are doing to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And so therefore I run, not as uncertainly. And so I fight, not as one that's simply beating at the air. But I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's saying the same thing here. His eyes are set, fixed. Even as the Canaanite woman this morning, her eyes were fixed on Jesus. Not on the disciples, not on anything else, but Jesus. And the picture here is this runner running the race. He's put much training into this. Many lessons, much instruction by his coach. Maybe he's won many races before, maybe he's lost many races. But Paul says in this one race, nothing else matters. There's one thing. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal. I've never seen in a race any of those that I happen to watch or observe that those who are running the race are somehow stopping along the sidelines to just chat with those who are observers of the race. I have not really seen any of those who are getting ready for the race and at the starting blocks, and they're talking about how many trophies they have at home and how they're certain they're going to run and win this race. Nor are they discouraged by someone else who's got a pulled muscle and they're complaining about their pain. No, their concentration, their focus, their desire is fixed. Win the race. And you see, Paul is saying, I haven't arrived, therefore, this is my mind. He presses on. I run. I am pursuing. The language here in the original is a picture of one using his muscles in the greatest of strain. I am straining forward. I am pressing on to stretch his muscles to the limit. I remember someone had given us a gift with our family a number of years ago to go to the Bahamas and stay there. And if you've ever been in a place like that, you know that you can go out into the ocean and it's like almost a half a mile and the water just begins to get lower and lower. So you can go out several blocks and the water's only a foot or two deep. But to run in that water is rather difficult. But the friend of ours who was there, we were walking in the water together and he kind of gave me a shove, and I gave him a shove back, and he fell into the water, and he got up, and I knew he had one thing on his mind. That was to get me. And I saw the shore, and I set my eye on the shore where it's dry and no other water, and I ran. And this is the picture that being pointed here. There's no looking back. That's what Paul is saying. He has one goal in mind, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm forgetting what's behind. No, he's not forgetting Damascus Road. He brings up this truth of his experience of salvation many times. But he forgets it in the sense that it is not going to hinder him in running the race. We can't rest upon previous experiences or relationship with the Lord. We need to live in a present context with our God and run this race, looking to Him and depending upon Him. With all the tears and prayers that are behind us, we don't have energy for today. We need to look to Jesus. There could also be those here today who, when they look behind them, they see carnage in their lives. They see their former sins that are like a weight that still is around their ankles and their necks. And it's hindering them from running the race. And Paul had to remind the Galatians as well that they were not to be hindered. He says, those teachers have come among you, and you have held them more highly than you should have, that you need to be circumcised, and do not let them entangle you again in this bondage. You have been set at liberty, in essence, to run the race. And Paul means what is said in the writing to the Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and run the race with patience that is set before us. Are you running the race? Or is there something hindering you? Something keeping you back? Something distracting you to the side? And you're not running with one thing in mind? If we have been covered in the blood of the Lamb, the sins that may still hinder you in this race, He has said, He has cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. We are called then to believe His words of promise and to put it behind us, to fight those thoughts and those inclinations even and desires that would have us think, how and why would God forgive us? And rather to look afresh and anew to Him. Paul is saying, I run keeping one thing and mind. Paul isn't concerned about anything else but this prize that he tells us in this passage. And there's a reason why Paul is telling us he's been motivated to run this race. And it's not only the motivation to begin the race, but it's his motivation to continue the race. It's amazing how he weaves that into this passage as well. And it brings us to the third thought of why we are pressing on. It's because, as we read in the King James, Paul is saying, we have been apprehended. And the translation before us is, here, Jesus has made me his own. So what is Paul saying here? The reason he is pressing on is because he's been apprehended of Christ. He belongs to Christ. Paul is saying that the reason he is striving in this way is not because of anything in himself, but it's because he's been laid hold upon by Jesus. Jesus having saved him, having redeemed him, having called him and set him in this race. Now the apostle says, I have one calling, one purpose, one goal in mind. And Paul's desire then is to follow after that he may apprehend this one goal. You know, the word used here is the idea of being caught. Not in a negative sense. When we think of the word apprehend, we think of a policeman who apprehends a criminal and he's not intending to let him go. He's apprehended him. He's caught him. But the idea, in a positive sense here, is Paul is saying, Jesus has made me his own. He's caught me and he's not going to let me go until he's changed me into his likeness. And so what's this prize that Paul is after? Really, we could say, what's the prize that Jesus is after for Paul? He says he is after that for which he was laid hold upon. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying is, I am pursuing that goal and prize that Jesus has set for me. And what would be that goal and prize that Jesus had set for Paul? Yes, he's been called to be a light to the Gentiles and these things, but that isn't the underlying reason the apostle says to the Philippians as well and to us, press on. The reason Paul is saying this is what he has in mind also in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow are those who he apprehended, or those in our text, Jesus Christ made his own. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Friends, God doesn't just save people to save them. He saves them to transform them. He has saved you and rescued you, if you are in Christ, from your sins and set you free. Not to simply somehow sit back and wait and just say, well, the day's coming when I'm going to be free at last from this body of death and worship the Lord. He's saying, you now already have been set free and run this race, therefore, looking to Jesus, being changed by him. God's purpose in saving you is to make you like his Son. Paul says to the Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There you have the reality. Paul's saying, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? So that you would be holy and without blame before him in love. having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us acceptable in the beloved. You see, Paul is running this race with one thing and one goal in mind: to be transformed, to be like him who he pursues with his whole being, with his whole heart, with every part of his desire. And it's true, as a child of God, those affections, those desires, and those longings can wane away. And Paul is saying to the Philippians, get in the race and get running. It's not our salvation that is at stake. It's our transformation that he's called us to. And then John says, there's coming this day in which we will truly be perfect. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. This is the hope the apostle is setting before the Philippians. It's the hope he sets before us. There's coming a day. You don't sense it. You don't understand the depth of it yet. But press on to this goal. It's coming. Paul doesn't shun his calling to run the race. Nor should we. And we should realize the motivation, the strength we have is to be found in this. We are apprehended of Christ. Christ Jesus has made me his own. And what will be the delight of the Father as Jesus brings his bride home? It's the beauty and the glory of his bride that has been worked and wrought on as they've run this race and been changed into the likeness of his Son. The purpose of the apostle being laid hold upon by Christ was to be changed. The purpose God has laid hold on you is to be changed. Are you running the race? Are you pressing on? This is the growth and life that is set before us when we follow Christ. Not as though I have already attained this or we're already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Press on. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come tonight to thee. We need thy grace. We need pardon and cleansing from times in which we've sat down in defeat and discouragement and frustration. Lord, help us to rise and to run the race that's set before us. We know it is a finished race. We know it is a finished work. But we are called to run. And so transform us through the power of the word that comes to us. And by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, grant us greater desires and longing of this same desire of the apostle, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. May share in his suffering, become like him in his death, if by any means I may attain to this resurrection of the dead. Lord, bless us then, we pray, in this week. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.